Welcome to Hungry for God Church free weekly podcast. Enjoy this message. For more information about Hungry for God Church, visit h4gchurch.com.
Pastor Culver is here and he's ready to release that. I want you guys to stand, make him feel at home. Let's pull from him, press, and receive what the Lord has already given to him. Let's receive, first time at Hungry for God Church, Pastor Nathan Culver. Amen. Come on, let's do better than that.
Hallelujah. I want you to help me give your God a standing ovation. Come on. And somebody bless his name. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody bless the Lord. Come on, somebody bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. I just want to read one verse here. And I knew that for some reason, I never have technical difficulties, but it's all right. Genesis 1, verse 28. I want to read this verse to you, and then we're going to jump over to Luke, the 19th chapter. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28 says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply," two different things, "and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over." So he gives them a few things. He says, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, and have dominion. Okay? Now, when we look at Genesis, we're not going there, but when we look at Genesis chapter 9, we find that God speaks to Noah, and he only tells Noah, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish. But he told Adam and Eve to be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, and have dominion. He told them five things. But when after Adam falls and man goes in a contrary direction to what God said, the last two terms here in Genesis chapter 1 and 28 deal with kingdom. To subdue and have dominion deals with the kingdom. But by the time we get to Noah, God says, listen, Noah, Adam turned over his kingdom authority. And now the only thing I need you to do until my son comes to restore the kingdom back to man is to be fruitful, multiply, and replenish. Now I'm going somewhere. Being fruitful, multiplying, and replenishing is something that God started man off with, and even after man fell, it still was a command from God for you to be fruitful, multiply, and replenish. Go to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. I want to read this parable to you, and then I'm going to kind of share some principles I think will help you. Luke chapter 19, look at verse 12, and we're going to read from verse 12 to verse 24. This is Jesus talking to the disciples, giving them a parable. And he says in verse 12, he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants Bible says he called them and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him. And to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said, likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man, and takest up that thou laidest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury or interest? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. Genesis chapter 1, God begins to speak to man, and he gives him a command, as I said earlier. He gives him the command to be fruitful, multiply, and replenish, okay? And then we see here in Luke chapter 19 that Jesus is giving a parable, and he's saying, he's giving an example to the listener, to tell the listener, listen, here's what you need to understand. That the God that you are serving expects multiplication. And so today, I want to talk to you on the subject multiplied money. Multiplied money. We often struggle because our focus is just on acquiring money. So what we do is we go from day to day just living to make money just to pay bills. And what God expects of us is that, yes, we must put in the initiative to generate the money, but at some point, the money ought to be working for you. Now, let me say this from the outset. I'm not a prosperity preacher. So I didn't come here to talk to you about get-rich-quick schemes and all that kind of stuff. But what I have come to tell you is that God has an expectation. And God has an expectation because God is an investor. How do we know that God is an investor? Because the Bible says that when he created man, that he breathed the breath of life into him, and man became a living soul. God said, listen, whatever I create, I invest everything that I am into my creation. And so God, being the God that he is, takes of himself and puts himself into his creation. And God says, everything I put myself in, I expect a return on. And anything that does not bring me a return is just like the third servant, a wicked servant. This is why when Jesus was walking through and saw the fig tree was not giving forth figs, he cursed it. Because anything God creates, he creates from an investor's perspective. He creates with the mindset that I'm going to put everything I've got, I'm going to put all of the prized treasure of heaven into it. And I believe that it ought to yield me some kind of return. And so God gets frustrated with us whenever he sees us moving in a direction and moving and beginning to do things, but we don't have a return. But we don't have a return because we have not allowed our mind to be renewed to think like God thinks about what about money. Because the way that God thinks, his thinking is always about return. Because God never wastes his time nor his resources with anybody or anything. And so he says, the first investment I made into man was breathing into him. I gave man a part of myself so that he would not only did I create him in my own image and likeness, but I gave him of my very breath. And generations have lived off of one breath of God. And so God breathes into man. And he says, because I gave you all of myself, here is what I expect of you, Adam. Be fruitful. Be fruitful. God is so interested in us being fruitful that he does something else. Go back to Genesis real quick. I want to show you something here. Genesis chapter 2. One of the reasons why we struggle is because we don't understand and we don't have the mindset of multiplication, not the way that God does. And so I want to show you something here. Genesis chapter 2, I didn't expect to go here, but I'm going to go here. Genesis chapter 2, I believe it is, hold on one second. Verse 7. I was just talking about this. I'm going to read it. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from this, it was parted and became into four rivers. Right? It becomes into four heads. And then it says, the name of the first is Pison. That is, it was it which compasseth the whole land of Hivala, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. Verse 13, and the name of the second is Gihon. The same is that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third is Hiddekel. That is that which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. The first river has no name. But the second one, the initial river, has no name. But then it splits into four heads. That means it becomes four rivers. One river becomes four. And so God is showing us right here, in everything I do, I may start with one thing, but I intend for it to multiply. And so God starts off with a river with no name and then gives the other four a name. Now watch this. The first river that he names means increase. The second river he names means bursting forth. The third one, Hiddekel, means rapid. And the fourth river, Euphrates, means fruitfulness. So God says, Adam, I'm not giving you any excuse because even the rivers are fruitful. So I expect you to be fruitful. Are you hearing me? And so God expects fruitfulness from us, right? So when we're talking about being fruitful, we have to understand that God is really dealing with us about reproducing. Now watch this. This is the amazing thing and the thing I love about God. What happens here is in the parable in Luke chapter 19, the servant, the Lord says, listen, I'm going to call 10 servants, and I'm going to give each of them the same opportunity. I'm going to give each of them a pound. And he never tells them what to do with it. He just gives them an opportunity. And God said, many of us are working jobs and working places and doing things and being places, but we're not being fruitful because we miss the fact that God has given us an opportunity to expand his kingdom right where we work. Right where he's placed us is an opportunity for kingdom expansion. But instead of us viewing it from that perspective, we get frustrated because we're not doing what we want to do. We're getting frustrated because we're not moving. We're not progressing. We're not seeing advancement. We're not seeing moving forward. But I said to my church recently, I said, advanced thinking produces advanced living. If you're thinking backwards, you're living backwards. And thinking backwards, let me give you an example. Thinking backwards is this. I'm going to go to the mall, and I'm going to go to Macy's and get me a Macy's card because I got good credit. So I'm going to get this card. I'm going to get me this card. This ain't a Macy's card. I wish I had time to teach you why I don't do department store cards. But this is I get me a card from Macy's. Because they told me at the cash register that when I use this card, not only am I going to get 20% off, but I'm going to get another 10% off at the register. What? I'm getting me a Macy's card, but what they didn't tell you is that it's 22% interest. They tell you that. Who said 24? Praise the Lord. Now you know the truth. They didn't tell you the interest that was on it. Now watch this. I said advance. Thinking produces advanced living, right? So I got this car. And what I just did, the moment I charge $100, $200, or whatever, I'm paying in 2 weeks. The moment I did that, I just start walking backwards. Wow. I thought I got a sale, but it was on sale. So now, where I thought I was getting ahead, I'm really moving backwards. Wow. So true. And now $100 turns into $500. And now another store done gave you a card. And you owe them too. I read something a few years ago that said the average American, I don't know how true this is because I don't have, but the average American has 14 credit cards.
The average?
That's what they said. Now watch this. When we charge on the card, we're moving backwards. And we are moving away from the way that God intended for us to live because he said, be fruitful and multiply. The only thing we're multiplying is debt. And so now we are on our knees fasting and praying for God to deliver us from debt. And he said, I never called you into debt. Called you into multiplication. So we're walking back. Now watch what happens. Because what we're doing is we're moving away from purpose. Jesus. We're moving away from God's purpose for our life. So now God can't come and say, I want to send you to Africa for 30 days. You know why? Because you got debt. And the Bible says, owe no man nothing but to love him. And as long as you owe somebody, you can't truly love them. Because you're mad that you got to pay them. Man, I'm mad I got to pay Macy's. I can't. Jesus. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So we're moving away from God's intent. Now watch this. These servants had the same opportunity. They had the opportunity for advancement. They all had the same opportunity. And two of them said, watch this. Two of them said, I've been waiting for an investor to show up. because I had heaven whispering ideas in my spirit for a long time, but I could never get the finances to do it. And now the opportunity for advancement had come because in the opportunity, an investor now shows up. And God said, I can't send people to invest in your dream yet because you're still dealing with debt. And if they sow into you now, they're going backwards right along with you. When I started my first business, I was 21 years old and didn't have a degree yet. I started with $250. And I said, Lord, give me wisdom, strategy. I worked my job, and I did my thing on the side with my business. And I said, Lord, give me wisdom. I don't even have money to buy a computer, Lord. He said, go do the work at the client's office. You won't need one. I did that. And as I kept doing that, somebody said, hey, guess what? I want to give you a computer, brand new. Boom. And so I kept doing what I was supposed to be doing. I said, Lord, I believe you called me to do something, but it's a little foggy right now because I got all these this financial pressure on me. I said, Lord, help me get out of debt. Show me how to get out. I didn't sit in nobody class. I didn't go to no debt-free seminars. I didn't do none of that. You know what I did? I said, Lord, this book has got more wisdom than any wisdom I could ever receive from a man. Show me in your word how to get out. Because watch this, the same principles to get out of debt is the same principles to become wealthy. So I said, God, show me. And the Lord said, here's what I want you to do. He said, you take the money from your business and you pay your debt off. Every dime you make, you give, and you pay your debt off. Now, I'm going to tell you something. God will never prosper you if you are not a giver. I don't care how many businesses you start. There are people, I have read articles by people who said, I take 10% of my revenue from my business. Ungodly people. And this is what they say. Now, watch this. They say, and I give it to a worthy cause. Now, watch this. If the cause of Christ is a worthy cause, why won't you give to it? And they said, that is the secret to my success and prosperity, is that I give 10% to a worthy cause. So we need to understand that when we don't give, the only thing we're doing is allowing our old nature to be in control. Because our old nature is governed by Satan and is selfish. We are selfish by nature. And until we get a new nature through Christ Jesus, we can never walk in the totality of who God wants us to be, because our old nature is selfish. Never wants to give. The devil will never tell you give $100. He ain't gonna say that. He never going to tell you that. So whenever you hear $100 in your spirit, you know it's God. Because the devil will never tell you to do that. He going to tell you, listen, you need to go buy this. You need to do that. You need a vacation. You've been going through. Anything but to give to a worthy cause, the cause of Christ. So we find out, I found myself working backwards. And I said, Lord, help me. And so I took the money I was making. I think I was making like $150 or $200 a month. I gave, and here's what I did now. My business tied 10% of its revenue from start. So not only was I giving from my personal finances 10%, I then from my business was giving a separate 10%. Because the Bible says that you ought to give the first fruits of your increase. This is $200 a month I never had before. And so I gave that. And God kept blessing me and blessing me until I got to a point. I was in $20,000, I believe, of debt. And I came out totally. And the Lord said to me, he said, the same steps you took. Now, if I could, if I had more room, let's say the $20,000 was that wall. Right? God gave me the analogy of a race. He said every race starts at the starting line. And every time you go another dollar in debt, you're moving away from the starting line. He says, but when you come out of debt, the only thing you're doing is getting back to the starting point. You have not reached a place of prosperity until you take the first step beyond the starting point. Then you step into prosperity. So you may be making six figures, but if you got $50,000 of debt, you're not prospering until you come out. And that step out is prosperity. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Now, when we talk about the issue of prospering, what God will do with us is he'll bring us back. We'll get back to the starting line. The same principles you practice to get back to the starting line are the same principles you got to practice moving forward. Are you following me?
Yes.
And so as you begin to take those steps moving forward, at this point now, you begin to prosper. Okay? But you're not doing anything different than you did to come out of debt. You're doing the same thing while you're out. What is it going to take for you to get out of debt? Discipline. Determination, right? A drive to keep going, even when it gets hard. Those same principles have to be applied to move into a place of prosperity and blessings. And what the deception for most of us in the church is that we rather look blessed than be blessed. We rather wear our blessing than to have our blessing in the bank. Okay? So now, I came out of debt, and the moment I came out of debt, the Lord gave me a business opportunity where I was going to make $6,000 a month off one client. And the Lord, I said, Lord, I want to expand my business. Now we're talking kingdom. I want to expand. I now have an opportunity. What, I need a line of credit. I need this. I need that because school taught me. I need a line of credit. I need to do this. I need to get this. I need to get that. God said, no, you're going to create your own line of credit. I said, how am I going to do that? The Lord told me, he said, live off of, now they were paying me every week. I think it was about $1,200 or $1,300, maybe $1,500 a week. God said, live off one check a month. I said, Lord, do you know what they go? You know what they pay me? He said, live off one paycheck a month. And in about three or four months, maybe five, I had $30,000 cash in the bank. Bills paid every single month. And I had a business and I had my home. My personal stuff. I said, Lord, okay, I got this, man, $30,000 in the bank, you owe nobody nothing? If you grew up like I did, I grew up in the hood. We want public assistance. We couldn't wait till the first of the month. I'll tell you the truth. And to have that kind of money, I said, oh, I got scared. And so God said, now watch this, God said, I want you to look at the expenses to run your business and your personal life. I said, okay, I added it up. He said, here's what I want you to do. Add up how much your clients pay you every month. Looked at that. I said, okay. He said, I want you to pay all your bills for your business and for your personal life, the beginning of the month. When your clients pay you back, put the money back and take the increase and store it away. So I had gotten to a point where my clients were paying me $8,000 a month. So I paid all my bills, put the money back in the account I originally had. So I kept the $30,000 all the time. And what I did was I took the extra and stored it away. I said, Lord, I feel like I'm working too many hours. I was working 60 hours a week. Lord, I feel like I'm working too many hours. You didn't call me to work like this. Because I can't work like this and work for you. So what am I going to do? Lord, show me what to do. Look, and the Lord said this to me. He said, for every season, you need strategy. Even for your blessing season, you need strategy. Even in your season of blessing. See, we forget strategy. We want strategy when we struggle. God said, you need strategy even in your blessing season. And I said, Lord, what do I do? He said, now I'm going to show you how to make the money work for you. The Lord, now watch this, God, and this is why I say you must be a giver, because when you sow, I had something. I'm going to just use this. When you sow, what you do, I know I'm blocking the screen, it's okay. When you sow, what you do is you unlock heaven's resources to be released in your life. Now, what do you mean by that, man? What do you mean by that? There are ideas you haven't thought of yet. There are things you have not tapped into yet. There are gifts and talents that have not been unlocked yet. And God said, I'll keep them on lockdown till you release what I invested in you. So what God will do is he'll say, okay, when you give, Lord, I'm giving. I ain't looking for nothing in return, Lord. I just thank you that you provided for me. And God says, in your nighttime, in your dreams, in your visions, I unlock ideas that will solve the mysteries of the world. Because God called us to solve problems. We are problem solvers. And when God calls you to solve problems, heaven's answers will come when you release what's in your hand. God said, I'll release the answers from heaven to solve the solutions of the world, and the world will have to pay you for it. And when the Bible talks about the wealth of the wicked being given to the righteous, that's what it means. God said, I'm going to give you heavenly ideas. I'm going to whisper to you in the night. I'm going to whisper things to you. I'm going to give you dreams. I'm going to give you visions. I'm going to unlock things to you that are going to answer the world's issues. And when I release those things to you and you begin to walk in them and do them the way the world couldn't come up with an answer, they'll have to give you the money that they work for to solve the problems that they've been having for years. And God said, you are holding up the world's solutions and your own provision. So what God does is he says, give because what I want to do is I want to release to you what you need to be sustained and my kingdom to be enlarged. Because God called these 10 servants to expand the kingdom. And because their call was to expand the kingdom, they had to have something to start with. But when they began to use, they began to trade. The Bible, when it talks about occupy till I come, what he's saying is do business. That's why Jesus said, I came to do my Father's business. He said, I came to extend my Father's business that was started in heaven, incorporated in heaven. And I've come down to the earth to as an expansion project for heaven, for all of heaven. I've come to expand heaven's domain to the earth. And he said, when I saved you, I invested in you my son. I invested in you my spirit, and I invested in you everything that you need to be able to extend my kingdom. It's not about the money. It's about kingdom extension and expansion. And when the kingdom expands, your pockets will expand.
Oh,
come on. Say, occupy.
Hallelujah.
Until I come. And so as they began to occupy, what they had to do was what was done to them. What was done to them? An investment was made in them. And so now he says, guess what? I've invested in you. Now, if you're going to prosper, if you're going to be blessed, you've got to learn the art of investment. And the number one investment must be in the kingdom of God. The second investment has to be in the things that God has gifted you to do. When you begin to invest in what God has gifted and graced you and gave you purpose to do, not only are you creating opportunities for you to prosper, but what you're doing is you're creating opportunities for God to get glory and for somebody's soul to be saved. And so God says, I called you. I called you. I invested everything in you. And now I'm asking you to occupy, do business. Watch this, and I'm finished. When they began to occupy, they began to do business. They began to trade. They began to do business and do things. And then multiplied. The 1 pound multiplied for 1 to 10. Because his mindset equaled what he got as a return. The second person invested and got 5. Now, look at this is the marvelous thing about it. What happens now is the Lord comes back looking for the return on the investment. He said, listen, I had 1, I got 10. He says to him, he transitions him from pounds to city authority. He says, I'm going to give you authority over 10. Wait. 1 pound. All I did with it was utilize the ideas and the intellect you gave me. Not only did you give me an investment, but you gave me the intellect. You gave me the ideas. And along with the intellect and the ideas, I just did with it what you told me. And now I got 10 pounds, and you're telling me you're going to take my 10 and make me a ruler over 10 cities. I'm going to give you authority over 10 cities. Do you understand the level of resources you're responsible for now? Now you have been given authority over 10 cities. But here is the difference between these two, who now, one had 10 cities, one had 5. Here's the difference between them and the one that said, I only got 1. I never had this one before. I'm going to just put it away. Because at least when he come back, I just want to be able to get him back what he gave me. What if I lose it? What if I lose what he gave me? I don't want to come back and say, I lost it. Or I don't have anything. So he says, my fear will make me wrap it up and put it away. And God said, watch this. The reason why some folks still in debt, because they don't have faith. The same faith it took you to get in debt. Because you said, I know I'm going to pay this in 30 days. I know I'm going to pay this off. I get paid 2 weeks. I got it. Is the same faith it's going to take to get out. And that same faith it took you to get out is the same faith you're going to need to multiply.
Yes, come on. Yeah, yes, yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah.
God said, I already gave you a measure. I gave you a measure of faith, so you don't have no excuse.
Wow.
So if fear is dominating you from moving forward, it's because you didn't work the measure of faith I gave you. This man didn't have faith. And his lack of faith and his allowing fear kept him from having city authority, from having city dominion. The dominion is not for you. It's for the kingdom of God. And we hoop and holler and shout and scream about having authority. But we need to use the same power we have to cast out devils and to heal the sick, to deal with our money. And when I was on my way preparing to come here, the Lord said that I want to release a financial flow in this house. But you've put your own dams up. You put your own dams up. And so while I'm trying to release, everything I'm releasing is getting stopped at a wall. And while I've been trying to release it to you, you've been getting in your own way. But today, the Spirit of the Lord would say to you that I want to remove the dams. The dams of doubt. The dams of debt. You've been under financial pressure because of your own choosing. And there are gifts and there are talents I begin to release. There are graces I begin to release in this place. To answer the world's issues. But you've been in the way. But today, I send my messenger to you to remove the veil that's been upon your mind. To remove the doubt. You've been struggling. You know there are gifts and there are talents in you that God wants to release. You know there are abilities that God wants to release. You know that God has poured some things into you. He's downloaded some things into you. But it's been hesitation. But today, the Spirit of the Lord say, I will give you strategy. I give you strategy. I give you strategy to deal with these issues. I give you strategy, said the Spirit of God. You don't have to spend another day wandering the wilderness. Just when you think you're about to get out, something else hits you. Just when you think you're about to enter the promise, here comes another problem. The Lord said, I will give you strategy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.